Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cynical series with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live via live stream from Maryville, Tennessee today. We're so blessed to have Mother and the sisters. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. Supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31, the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your pierced lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So just a joy to be together today again. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly, truly blessed to be alive at this time. I'm going to ask the mother and the sisters to unmute themselves, and I'm going to get the video where they are right now. And Allah. Hello, Mother. Hello,
Peter.
Sisters.
How are you? You hear me?
Hi,
yes,
Peter.
Loud and clear.
Loud and clear. Good.
Very nice.
New mics that you sent. Thank
yes.
you. God bless you.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, no, thank everyone listening. Because it was a community event for sure. Now, just to give everyone a little heads up, we're still battling some issues, one of which is something that we don't have control of right now, but we will hopefully soon. And that is the internet connection. We have adequate service, but we need better, and we're working on that. We also have another piece of equipment that is still to be purchased and sent, but we are using an 8K new webcam, state-of-the-art. We're using a state-of-the-art 16-piece wireless mic with interface. We have a brand new PC, which is business and gaming compatible. And the reason why gaming, not that mother and the sister are going to be playing games on the computer, but the hardware that is used to build a gaming PC is more robust. It's to be on almost all the time. It's a workhorse. So that's why we had to opt for that. So again, it's better than it was. It's not exactly where it's going to be yet, but mother, we're so fortunate. And also fortunate, we use that supplication, Mother, from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. And why not? Remember what our catechism says about our Blessed Mother. It's Article 507, which states, quote, "At once, Mary is the symbol and the most perfect example of the Church," end quote. So how could we not use her quote as our intercession for today's cynical? Mother, sisters, it's great to be together again.
It's great to be together again, too. We're always happy to be with everyone here. You know, we feel like we're family. Even though we haven't met all of you personally, we feel like you're part of our family. I keep talking about axing around the divine will, because I think that's what the Lord has been speaking to my heart for the last 2 years or so, that the only way to get there, the only way to die to yourself and realize your nothingness, is to be continually thinking of God doing everything in and through you. Not that you always think it. You start thinking of it, and first of all, you start praying and asking Him to do everything in and through you with words. And then after a while, it just becomes a way of life. It's just a thought. And then it becomes a reality, a way of life, when you live totally in divine will. I was talking to Frances Hogan one time about that, because she's really understands very well the divine will and do an action round. And she said that as she's come to a point now where she doesn't have to say the words, or it's a way of life. It's just like she knows she's always, because of her desires, God is always doing everything in and through her. I was just reading in volume 12, December 28th, 1917, our Lord was telling Louisa, "My humanity had no rest. Even in sleep, I had no respite, but I worked intensively. And this because having to give life to everyone and everything and redo everything within me, it was convenient for me to work without stopping for one instant. And one who has to give life must be in continuous motion and uninterrupted act. Therefore, I was in continuous act of letting lives of creatures out of myself and of receiving them. Had I wanted to rest, how many lives would not be delivered? How many without my continuous act would not develop and would remain withered? How many would not enter into me because the act of life of the only one who can live life is missing? So what did he do? He redid each one of our lives in a perfect way from his conception to his public life, it says in the Divine Will writings. So when we're calling him in everything we do, we're taking what he already did for us in a perfect way and reliving our lives perfectly. Every second of your life was lived perfectly by Jesus in order to give the Father the honor and glory he should have gotten had Adam and Eve never sinned. So we're taking what he already did for us in a perfect way, taking it as our own, and giving it back to him to give to the Father. So when he gives it to the Father, it's like you did it perfectly. Jesus did it perfectly for you. But because you desire to take that gift from him that he already did for you, give it back to him to give to the Father, it's like you did it. So you got that bank in heaven, and he's filling up that bank in heaven with all of these divine acts and rounds that you're doing. It's gone into that bank that you never lose. Adam and Eve, before they fell, they did everything in divine will, and they had a bank full of divine acts and divine rounds that they had done, and they never lost that. And our Lord revealed to Louisa that they have some of the highest places in heaven because everything they did before the fall was in God's divine will. And even though they fell out of grace, they never lost that gift and all the divine acts and rounds they did. So, you know, you might lose your bank account here on earth. Everything might fall apart. But in heaven, you're never going to lose it. Everything you do, every act and round you do is gone into that bank. So you can be a multi-millionaire when you get there, spiritual millionaires. That's the kind you want to be. So I encourage you to just really take that seriously. He says, now, my daughter, since I want to you together with me in my will, I want your continuous act. Therefore, your awake mind is act. Your murmuring of your prayer is act. The movements of your hands, the beating of your heart, the moving of your glances are acts. They may be small, but what do I care? As long as there is the motion, the seed, I unite them to mine. I make them great, and I give them the virtue of producing lives. So every act and round you're doing, it's like you're producing divine lives of Jesus. If you want to imagine, little Jesus is everywhere, that you produce, you're giving birth to little Jesus is because he's doing it in you. He's done these acts and rounds in you, and you're just calling it back to you, giving it to him. So you're producing new divine lives. And that's what he calls little divine lives, his life of Jesus, because you're allowing him to give life within yourself of his own life. So it's a way of shrinking. The more we call him in everything we do, the more we shrink, the more we die, and the bigger he gets in us. He needs room. So we, in order to make room, we have to get ourselves to shrink. So the more you call him in everything, the more your human will shrinks and shrinks and shrinks so that your will and his will become one. And he takes on his life within you so that you begin to see everything through his eyes. He begins to fill you with himself and you begin to live his virtues. You know, when we try to practice virtue, try to change, we can't change ourselves. Only God can change us. But he changes us by thinking of him. You know, I've mentioned it before. We can go into ourselves, adoring the earthly Trinity, me, myself, and I, or go into yourself, adoring the heavenly Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're walking tabernacle. The Trinity dwells in your soul. Go into yourself, realizing he's there, doing everything in and through you. Let him do it. When we're talking to Daniel Shields, and I mentioned it before, he was talking about we're the mystical priesthood, the ministerial priesthood of the priest. We can't be ministerial priests. The priest, like Father Elijah, is our priest. We go to Mass with him every morning. The priest desires to bring about the body and blood of Jesus in the elements, in the bread and the wine. His desire makes it happen, but he doesn't do it. Jesus does it in the priest. But if the priest doesn't desire to do it, it doesn't happen. And, you know, in Medjugorje, we've gone to Medjugorje when we lived in Italy because we don't live that far. We drive there. They have 10,000 people there on average every night. And there will be many, many ciboriums full of hosts on a table nearby. And the priests, I thought all the ciboriums had to be on the carpal, but they don't. If the priest desires to consecrate all of those hosts on the table, his desire makes it happen. It becomes a reality. And so with us, we can't bring about the body and blood of Jesus in the elements, but we can bring about his life within us, asking him to do these acts and rounds in us. So our desire makes it happen, just like the desire of the priest makes the body and blood of Jesus come into the elements. Our desire for him to do these acts and rounds in us makes it happen. He sees the desires of our heart and it becomes a reality. So, you know, realize you have to, in order to realize that and to have faith in it, you need to read the volumes over and over again. You never stop reading because it reminds us we're so fragile, we easily forget. And so we have to be reminded over and over again. So that's the reason for the continuous reading. You know, they ask Our Lady in Medjugorje, why do you keep repeating yourself? She says, because you're not doing what I've asked you to do. I keep on repeating myself because we're like little children. You need to repeat the same thing over and over to a child so they can memorize it, so they can remember it. We don't remember. So if we put the book on the shelf, the books on the shelves, and we never read them, you're going to forget to do your acts and rounds in Divine Will. You're going to forget what it says. You're not going to have the faith in it as you would if you continually read it. And read it over and over and over again. So, and it always is new. Every time I read them, it's like I've never read them before. He says, my acts too were not all apparently great. When as a little one, I moaned and suckled milk from my mama. I amused myself in kissing her, caressing her, entangling my little hands with hers. Then when I was a little older, I picked flowers. I brought the water and other things. These were all little acts, but they were united in my will, in my divinity. And this was enough. They were so great as to be able to create millions and billions of lives. And so those little lives I talked to you about, the lives of Jesus's. Therefore, as I was moaning, lives of creatures were coming out from my moans. I suckled, I kissed, I caressed, but lives were coming out. Souls were forming in my fingers, entangled with my hands of my mama. And as I picked the flowers and brought the water, souls were coming out from the heartbeat of my uncreated heart, and they entered into it. My motion was continuous. So our Lord was a continuous motion. He never stopped. And he wants us to be continuous motion, even when you're sleeping. Jesus is sleeping and you're sleeping. So you're doing a divine act. You are never at any point in your daily life that you're not doing a divine act. As long as it's not a sinful act, a sinful thought, a sinful judgment, whatever it may be, you're continually doing divine acts, divine rounds as you live your life. Even if you just say that little prevenient act once in the morning, it's good to repeat during the day your actual acts. Jesus, come do this in me, come do that in me. But even if you don't, he is realized as long as it's not sinful, as long as it's holy, he's doing it within you. When I see your motion and your acts in my will, now placing themselves at my side, now flowing in my hands, now in my voice, in my mind or in my heart, I make of them the motion of all, and I give life to each one in my will, giving them the virtue of my own acts, and I make them run for the salvation and for the good of all. So as you do your acts and round in divine will, you're working on the salvation, helping with the salvation of all creatures around the world, because every act and round you do goes around the world to touch every heart and soul as much as they're exposed to the grace. So you're changing the world just by sitting home doing acts and rounds and divine will. So if you want to transform the earth, that's the best way to do it. You're at constant prayer. As long as you're realizing the Trinity within, letting him relive his life within you, you're constantly praying. There's not a moment you're not at prayer. And you're dwelling with him.
It's like a mother with Jesus told Louisa, you look like you're doing nothing while you do everything. It's not the outward everything. Expression like it used to be, like the saints did something and that's who they became. He says, I want to flip it all around. I want you to be something first and then go out and do. You know, you mentioned a couple of really important things. You mentioned about the economy. Jesus uses the economy in economical words. He uses a bank. He uses the word commerce. Yeah. He uses coins. He uses all these familiar terms of us because, again, we're small-minded people, and he has to bring himself down to our level. Also, you mentioned about us being, like, for example, creatures of habit. We have to begin really persevering, being attentive of this is what I want to do, and I have to repeat it over and over again until that point comes through grace, through mystical gifts, that it becomes our second nature, that we don't have to think about it anymore. And then you mentioned about the divine, taking our acts and making them divine. Only God can do that, and you're right, only through our fusion. So when we ask in the prevenient act to fuse our will, we do it in the actual acts. You know, again, he takes us as our word, at our word, if we truly want to do that, and as long as we don't exit by sin, that's going to remain in place. Last but not least, you mentioned about believing. We have to believe this. I mean, without having faith and trust, God says, well, if you don't trust me, how can I give you, how can I entrust you with this gift? If you don't even trust me, then I can give you this gift. And then today is the beautiful feast day of St. Thomas Aquinas. And he's got that one of his beautiful quotes. And this is used in a couple religious movies in the introduction. I don't remember what, maybe is it Jesus of Nazareth, maybe the Ten Commandments, but you'll hear something to the effect of, this is one of his quotes, quote, to one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. To one without faith, no explanation is possible. And that summarizes everything. With faith, everything is possible, because Jesus tells us in volume two, faith is God. So when you have faith, you're going to have God. You cannot have one without the other. Great, great point, Mother. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Hello, Sister Gloria.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Yes, if we think of, you know, really the bank that we are saving in the heaven for all the acts, you know, we do in the divine will as a treasure, I don't want to miss any opportunity, because even if, whether it's just a mere breath or just single insignificant act, but when I unite it with the will of God, that it becomes a divine act and becomes an infinite act. And it's not us doing it, but it's when we just call in God, in Jesus, in all our actions, then he will do everything. He said, I will do everything for you. And his act is like continuous, and it's a single act. There's no beginning or no end. It's just infinite act. And only as long as we desire it, that's the key. When we desire it, it happens, and he does it for us. It's amazing. It's just really mind-blowing that in one act of the divine will, it contains all the works of creation, redemption, and sanctification. All the works of, you know, God the Father did during creation, and all the redemptive works that Jesus did on earth, and all the sanctification, works of sanctification that the Holy Spirit does. So it's really beautiful, and we don't want to miss any moment, you know, like saving our, depositing our, you know, heavenly money in the bank. Today I was reading this from volume 7, July 3rd, 1906. It talks about how we become the paradise of the paradise of the soul on earth. Having received communion, I felt all united and clapped to my most divine Jesus. And while he clapped me, I rested in him, and he rested in me. Then he told me, my beloved, the soul who lives in my will rests, because the divine will does everything for her. And while it operates for her, I find the most beautiful rest in her. So the will of God is rest for the soul, and rest for God is in the soul. While resting in my will, the soul remains always attached to my mouth and suckles divine life into herself, making of it her continuous food. The will of God is the paradise of the soul on earth, and the soul who does the will of God comes to form the paradise of God on earth. The will of God is the only key that opens the treasures of the divine secrets, and the soul acquires such familiarity in the house of God as to dominate as if she were the owner. Who can say what I comprehended about this divine will? O will of God, how admirable, lovable, desirable, beautiful you are. It is enough to say that being in you, I feel all my miseries and all my evils being dissolved, and I acquire a new being with the fullness of all the divine goods. You know, it just reminds me of Genesis. On the seventh day, after God created all the creatures, on the seventh day, he rested. But after Adam and Eve, they fell into original sin, that God, you know, the lost, the rest, that he wasn't able to rest in our souls. But now this divine will is allowing us to provide that, you know, rest for God in our soul. So really, and our soul becomes the paradise for God, you know, for the will of God. And the will of God becomes our paradise, our dwelling place where we can find our rest. And there in rest, what does he want to do? He wants to enjoy everything. He just want to exchange, share the love, and enjoy all the creatures that he created for us. Really, the funny thing is God, you know, created all the creatures for us, for mankind, and we are free to use them. But we are, you know, we are created for our own sake, because man is the only creature that is created for its own sake. And this is why God is, in God, we are so precious, and he want to share, you know, the main source of God's, you know, the divine nature, which is the will of God. And it's the secret key to open that, you know, divine door. This is also the will of God. It's where the heaven and earth are meeting. That's where, this is where, how we can live the paradise, the heaven on earth. Truly, we find the paradise. We found that heaven in us, which the divine will allows it. And also it happens during communion. You know, it happens on our tongue. That's where the heaven and earth meet. So really, in every act, let us remember that when we call, when we invite Jesus in all our acts, that's when the divine life is created. That's when Jesus is incarnated. And then continuously, when we call on Jesus, then we are like suckling the divine life in us, like the divine blood is flowing in our body, and we become like transformed, like more like God. And because it's not us doing it, but because we are allowing, we are using our free will, we are allowing God to live his life in us. So it's really beautiful. And that's what my meditation I had.
You know what I just thought about? You know, I mean, we know that Adam had such an incredible remorse about what he did. But, you know, picture this. God is resting. Adam leaves God's divine will and wakes up God from his slumber. I wouldn't want to be the guy that wakes up the Father when he's taking his rest. And that's exactly what happened. And now, of course, creation is ongoing. And again, God will have that rest once again, but he'll have it, hopefully, because of our participation, because of in addition to us giving our fiat. Again, he wants everyone to become the Adam, the Eve again, and to start over again. And he had to do it through Jesus and Mary. And it's just, I mean, it's so spellbinding if you just think about what God is doing. He doesn't have to include us. Again, he's the uncaused cause. He's perfectly content with himself.
God and doesn't he need be. Us.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't, but he wants us. That's the key. Mm. So beautiful.
Yes.
We were created out of love. He couldn't help but create us. We were like an overflow of his love.
Correct.
So, you know, we created to be the image and likeness of God. And that's why it's so important that we live virtuous lives and not sinful lives, because we want to desecrate that Trinity dwelling of the Trinity within our souls, you know. But he couldn't help but create us. He didn't need us, but his love was so great that we were an overflow of that love, that he wanted to share his glory with us. He wanted to share his joy with us. He wanted to share his love with us. And so, you know, we say happy fall, but from the fall of Adam and Eve now, we can make a decision to love. We can die to ourselves and decide to love Jesus. So because our will has to be united with his will, the human will and the divine will united. So that's a great grace that came from the fall that obtained for us such a glorious redeemer as Jesus.
Yes, and that's why it's called the excesses of love. That's exactly the point you just made, Mother. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when I also think about living in the divine, well, I think of like abandoning ourselves in the arms of the eternal Father and just being like a little child. Because we're living in a world that's like full of pride that says, oh, you can do everything by yourself, you don't need God and things like that. But in reality, we need him so much. Like, we wouldn't be here, we wouldn't be talking now if it wasn't for him allowing us to live. So I like to read a little bit from volume 32, April 23rd, 1933, about how the life of Jesus was a continuous abandonment in the hands of the Father. So Jesus tells us through Louisa, my abandonment every instant was the most welcome act, so much so that I wanted to crown the last breath of my life with the words, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. The virtue of abandonment is the greatest virtue. It is binding God such that he takes care of the abandoned one in his arms. Abandonment says to God, I do not want to know anything of myself. This life of mine is yours, not mine, and yours is mine. Therefore, if you want to obtain everything, if you want to truly love me, live abandoned in my arms, let me hear the echo of my life in every instant. Into your hands, I abandon myself completely, and I will carry you in my arms as the dearest of my children. And then earlier on in this passage, Jesus also explains that he also about how his whole entire life was a continuous abandonment in the hands of the eternal Father. So Jesus says in another part of this passage, I can say that in every instant I placed myself in the hands of my celestial Father. It was the most beautiful homage that his Son gave him, the most profound adoration, the most heroic and complete sacrifice, the most intense love of offspring that my full abandonment into his hands gave him. It rendered my humanity speaking and with commanding voice that asked everything and obtained everything that I wanted. My celestial Father could not deny anything to his only Son abandoned in his arms. So this is a really great example for us of just surrendering and abandoning ourselves to the eternal Father. And in a great book I also recommend is The Eternal Father Speaks to His Children. And in that book, God the Father says things like, don't be afraid of me. I am a loving eternal Father. I want to help you. And when you really read that, you see that you don't need to be afraid of God the Father. He really wants to help you. And if you just surrender everything to him, if you just abandon like all those painful situations into his paternal heart and all your prayers, all your hopes and dreams, your worries, your fears, your everything, once you give it to him, he will really transform it. And one of the biggest lies the devil wants people to believe is to be afraid of God and not to abandon ourselves to him. And also recently we've been listening to Theology of the Body, and it's really beautiful because it really connects with divine will. It's like after you start reading the volumes, you see the divine will everywhere. Like you cannot escape from it. So one of the things Christopher West says is that the devil doesn't have his own clay. So he takes what God created, which is good, and then he twists it. And then he also says like what Mother and Sister Glory was saying earlier, like God didn't create us because he needs us, but because he loves us and he wants us to partake in these joys that the Trinity that they're experiencing in heaven. So if you just think of that, and next time we like are in a painful or uncomfortable situation, or whenever we have to suffer, instead of like complaining, which is a tendency in all of us, like, oh, this didn't go my way, I wish it went my way, or I'm so frustrated, this isn't working out the way I wanted to, or whatever case it may be, just think like, God allowed this to happen for a reason. He loves me so much. I abandoned myself in the hands of the eternal Father, And they also just entrust all these little acts and rounds I do in the divine will, because that's also a great way to abandon ourselves to God constantly, like saying, like, Jesus, come, like, breathe in me, look in me, hear in me, eat in me. And the beautiful thing about these acts and rounds is it's all an interior transformation. That's the continuous little miracle. Like back then, the saints, they did great miracles, like raising people from the dead and like the sun stopped and things. And those are all beautiful miracles. But I believe that the greatest miracle is a creature completely uniting her will to the divine will, like completely. And yeah, and that's just, and that is what really moves God. And that's how we can really move God to come to our aid.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned, you touched on fear, and that's another tremendous quote from Saint Aquinas. I'll just read it if I may. Quote, fear is such a powerful emotion for humans that when we allow it to take us over, it drives compassion right out of our hearts. End quote. So if you think about it, why are all the nefarious situations in the world today, all the leaders that are doing evil, why do they try to stoke fear? Because again, it strips us of our godly attributes. It makes us lose our compassion, lose our empathy, lose our love, lose our charity, lose our everything that's good. So fear is a very, very useful tool for the enemy. And that's why we should never, whenever possible, allow that to come into our lives. Yes, it's going to creep in occasionally, but we must remember, what do we have? What has God done here with each and every one of us? What opportunity has he given us? This far outpaces and outpowers Satan. There's no competition here. So we have everything we need. We have nothing to lose. We're the only ones that can lose it. And the underground, this interior coming, that's exactly what St. Cyril Jerusalem said in the 300s. That's the same thing St. Bernard said in the 1100s. This third coming of Christ, this intermediate coming, which is before the second, after the first, right now, it's going to be invisible. Nobody can take this from us. The only one that can stop this from gaining into ourselves is us. We're our worst enemy, right, Mother?
That's right. I say that often. Yeah, you know why the leaders in the world kind of producing fear in people? Because they're full of fear. They're full of fear that the population needs to be brought down. Got to get rid of a lot of people here. I guess they want to live on the earth by themselves. They'll be very lonely then, you know. But why are they producing that fear? Because they're full of fear. How do we get rid of fear? Well, one thing you can do is stop watching the news so much. You get rid of a lot of fear.
That's true.
But, you know, if you read these volumes and you try to live in the divine will and you acts and rounds in divine will, you're going to get rid of your fear. Because you're going to be reliving the life of Christ within you, you know. But it's all about just being aware of the presence of God within, and you know that divine indwelling, to be aware of his presence within you. He'd come out of Louisa and show himself to her, and she would complain. She always wanted to see him with a corporeal vision, and he said, but you don't understand, Louisa, I'm closer to you when I'm within you. And she wanted to see him over and over again, but he would show himself. He would come out and show himself to her. And that's where he is. He's within each one of us. If you're in the state of grace, he's living in your soul. He's dwelling within you. You don't have to go very far to find him. Go within yourself and pray to him within yourself. Realize his presence within, and you're going to grow in holiness, and you're going to get rid of your fears, because you're going to start seeing everything and everyone through his eyes. And that releases fear from your life. In volume 12, January 31st, 1918, I was reading, my daughter, dissolve yourself in me. Dissolve your prayer in me, so that your prayer and mine may be one single prayer, and one would not recognize which one is yours and which mine. Your pains, your works, your will, your love, dissolve them all in my pains and my works, etc., so that they may mix one with the other and form one single thing, to the extent that you may be able to say, what belongs to Jesus is mine, and I may say, what is yours is mine. You know, Jesus cannot be done God cannot be done in generosity. He loves you so much. He's so generous with you. He gives you all these acts and rounds that he did, all that his mother did, all that Louisa did. You can take them all. It's like we're in an ocean of love. The whole divine will is what it's all about. God loving us and us returning that love. Everything, all acts and rounds ever done in divine will, all in this ocean of love. And when we do our acts and rounds are little drops going into that ocean of love. And what does it do? Our little drops mingle with all the other acts and rounds in the water so that we become part of everybody else's acts and rounds, and their acts and rounds become part of ours. And we're just a big family, divine will family in this ocean of love with our little acts and rounds mingled with everybody else's. He says, imagine a glass of water which is poured into a big container of water. Would you be able to distinguish afterwards the water of the glass from the water of the container? Certainly not. Therefore, your greatest gain and my highest contentment, repeat often in whatever you do. Jesus, I pour into this into you, so that I may do not will my will, but yours. And immediately I will pour my acting into you. So it's like a glass of water. Jesus pours his acting into our little glass of divine acts too. Thinking of water, we were just listening to something. I forget the scientist's name. You know the scientist's name?
The Japanese?
Japanese.
His name is Masaru Emoto.
Yes. He came across this thing about water, that when you say kind, good words, when you say good words, the water, what is it, crystals in the water, something, it becomes beautiful shapes in the water. And when you say ugly, nasty words, it becomes jagged, ugly shapes in the water. They might put my water under a big magnifying glass. And if you play beautiful music, beautiful designs come in the water. When you play ugly rock and roll music or bad music, then it becomes jagged little crystals or something in the water. Also, he saw when you put holy water into regular water, the water becomes more beautiful.
The water, even just with a drop of water.
With just a drop of holy water, mm-hmm. makes all the water holy water. Mm-hmm. So even you take a bottle of exercise, just regular water, and you put one drop of exercise water in that bottle of water, all the whole bottle becomes exercise water. And it becomes beautiful shapes of crystals in the water that we don't see with our naked eye. But even words. So when you say negative words, you're forming negativity around you. And the atmosphere becomes negative. Even the water is affected by that. When you say kind, loving words, even animals are affected by negativity. Nature is affected by negativity. You know, even plants, they say when people talk to their plants or play beautiful music, the plants grow better and they thrive much better. If there's a home where there's tranquility and peace, the plants in the home will grow better. The animals will be happier in the house. The children will be happier in the house. So you have to form positivity in your environment. And positive things will happen all around you. So we have to get rid of the negativity in our lives. And the divine will teaches us that. It goes on to say in volume 12, March 4th, 1918, firmness is the greatest virtue. Firmness produces heroism. And it is almost impossible for one not to be a great saint. Rather, as she keeps repeating her acts, she forms two bars, one to the right and one to the left, which serve as a support and defense. And as she reiterates her acts, a fount forms in her of new and increasing love. Firmness strengthens grace, placing on it the seal of final perseverance. Your Jesus does not fear that his graces may remain without effects, and therefore I pour them in torrents over a constant soul. So how do we become constant souls? We are creatures of habit. We need to form those habits of reading the divine will on a daily basis. I mean, if you have a bad day, just sit down and read the divine will for 10, 15 minutes and your whole attitude changes. You go from depression to joy, you know, so it's so important to read it. But, you know, you're going to change everything. You're going to become more firm as you do these habitual acts in divine will. As you habitually go into yourself, finding Jesus, you're going to realize his divine indwelling more and more and more. And you're going to live that divine indwelling like Elizabeth the Trinity did. And Brother Lawrence, in the practice of the presence of God, they had that great grace to realize the divine indwelling within, and they lived it. And you're going to live more, you're going to take on the life of Christ, which St. Thomas Aquinas said, you know, we become like little gods. We become like little gods. We're God's children, and we become more and more like the Father as we live more and more totally in his divine will. We take on all of his attributes and his virtues. Like I said, we can't change ourselves. Only God can change us, but we got to let him. We got to realize his presence within, think of him often, talk to him throughout the day. But, you know, divine will is a way of praying always. We're always at prayer. And so, you know, getting that habit of realizing whatever happens, even negative things in your life, realize that God brings a greater good out of every evil. And every time someone is upset with you or gives you a hard time, you can rise above in the spiritual life by your reactions to that person, by loving them no matter what, by forgiving, by letting it go in one ear and come out the other if you need to, but realizing you're the child of God. You don't have to try to you know, put yourself up on a pedestal. God loves you the way you are. If somebody else is upset with you because of the way you are, that's their problem. You're trying to live a holy life. We all have our faults and failings. We have to accept each other's faults and failings. And when we die to that, we die to ourselves in wanting what we want and just accepting in reality whatever God wants for us on a day-to-day basis, we grow in great joy and great peace and great love. And things don't bother us anymore, because as you're living in his divine will, you're growing in humility, in littleness, and then perfect nothingness. If you're nothing, if you realize you're nothing on the side, and the more we see God, the more we see our defects. And in seeing our defects, but we see them with a joyful heart, we realize how great God is and how little we are, how nothing we are without him. And when you're at the bottom of the barrel, you can't fall. You're happy. You got perfect joy. If you realize you're nothingness, you got perfect joy. But if you're on the top of the barrel and you're really hot, proud, you don't have perfect joy. Pride makes us very unhappy. It makes you jealous. It makes you think you got to control everybody. And that does not make you happy. That makes you sad, because you can fall off the top of the barrel. But usually people who are very insecure are the proud people that have to control everything. They get upset with other people. They judging other people's motives all the time. They're always putting other people down, because an insecure person thinks by putting other people down, he puts himself up. But all you're doing is putting yourself lower and lower and lower than the other person. So, you know, think positively, speak positively about others and their actions. Try not to rash judge others and their actions. Our Lord says, do not judge and you will not be judged. But we're in such habits of doing these negative things. We need to change our habits. And I think the Lord will help us to change them as we read in his divine will, as we reflect on these beautiful teachings. We have to live it. We can't just preach it. We can't just read it and not live it. You got to apply what you're reading and let our Lord change you from day to day, from moment to moment. You know what they say, inch by inch, holiness is a cinch. Yard by yard, holiness is hard. Because we're growing in holiness inch by inch. Every little thing that happens to you through the day, you're accepting it with resigned heart, thanking Jesus for it, even whether it's good or bad. Thanking him for everything, being resigned to everything, whether it's a pain that you have to suffer. That's how you grow an inch by inch in holiness. So, you know, getting that habit of looking at everything through the eyes of Jesus, accepting everything as his will for you to rise a higher and higher and higher level in the life of holiness and in being sanctified. He wants to sanctify you, and he's allowing things to happen in your life to help you be sanctified. Accept those things with resignation and joy and peace and thanksgiving, and you will grow in holiness inch by inch every day. Every day you'll be changing. You might not see it right away, but when you look back, I know even those who've been reading the Bible, when you look back maybe a few years ago, how you've changed through the years, you don't think like you used to think. You forgive people more readily. You love people. You begin to fall in love with everybody, whether you know them or not. You see them and you just love people, because Jesus is in you, loving them in you, because you've allowed him into your life to relive his life in you.
Amen. I can't recall the saint, Mother, but there was a saint that said something to the effect that it is in my nothingness that I found my everything. And I think that's so appropriate also for us. And you mentioned about the reading, the knowledge is it's so important because, again, God talks about a divine nourishment. It's in volume 27, January 30th, 1930. And the first part of this divine nourishment is similar to our own human digestive system. Our digestive system begins with our eyes. We see that pizza. Well, I see that pizza and I begin to get ready for that pizza. The digestive process begins. The enzymes are being created. Jesus says the same thing. He says, the first thing we give is the knowledge of what we want to make of her. And then we give and do what we have disposed. So first is the knowledge. Then we masticate on that as he wants us to. Then he begins to mold us. But again, it's a process. It could be a very quick process or it could be a very long process, really based on our stubbornness or our willingness to say fiat in everything. It's so easy that it's complicated. I think that's the best way to explain it. At least to me it is. Sister?
Like more and more I realize, you know, like when I just hold on to my something or my human will, I don't get satisfied. I'm not happy. I'm not content. But only God can really satisfy my hungry heart. Really when I empty myself, that's when he can like fully fill myself with him. But I gotta try little by little, inch by inch, to get there, to die to myself, to empty myself, so that he can grow in me more and like bigger and bigger. Before the sisters and mother, and they were mentioning about how to defeat the evil spirits, you know, how the devil is the father of the liar, all the lies. I remember when I was reading volume one, Jesus, he put her to test so that she can be more like transform more like God. And I wanted to share how to, you know, we in what attitude we have to be in the battle. I mean, our Christian life, it's not on the flowery road, but it's we have to carry our own cross and follow Jesus. And of course, the battle is like, it's you have to shed your blood in order to, you know, win the battle. And with Jesus, of course, in God, with God, everything is possible. But Jesus, you know, even put Louisa in that trial, in that, you know, in that test with the devils, in order to prepare her souls so that she can bear like new and heavier crosses, you know, to participate in his sufferings and his passion. But it was all for her own sake. He just really wants us to allow everything, to accept everything with joy, because love can be only grown with sacrifice. So we gotta want everything what he wants to do, to do everything what God wants, then God will also do whatever we want. So we gotta have that trust in God, and we gotta have the conviction, not to trust in ourselves, but just put all our trust in God. Then he will do everything for us. You know, really, we just gotta abandon ourselves in the arms of God. Then he will purify our souls and then eliminate any like obstacles that's hindering his love for us. Because he really wants us to be his all, and he wants to be our all. So we don't have to be fearful, afraid of anything, because he will become our arms. He will become our strength. He will be our, what's it called? Citadel. Yeah. And he will fight for us, and he will win the battle for us. So he just allow us, you know, put in that situation so that he can adorn us with lots of graces, and so that we can gain more merits up in the heavens to be more glorious, not only for ourselves, not just for ourselves, but it's for God, to give all the glory to God so that we can share the glory and love with God in the heaven. And when we, you know, fight with the devils, with the devil, then it also prepares that eternal dwelling in our soul, and it also help us to be united completely with the will of God. So really, only through the cross, only through these difficulties, we can God is molding our souls to imitate him. But that's the only way, Jesus said, only the cross. It really makes us to be more like him. But God never allows, doesn't allow, you know, the devils to tempt us more than we can handle. So first he measure, you know, how much we can handle, you know, our ability. And then he gives all the graces, then, you know, then he allow us to be tested. So all the battle is actually everything is to be is triumphant. But if we lose it, that's when we don't ask him for help. So we just gotta continuously pray. Constant prayer is really important, because devil hates when we pray. So have courage, never afraid of anything, because God is there. God is here with us, and he's fighting for us. And we just gotta be like a soldier, strong soldier, like being convinced of, you know, the triumph, and because God is with us, you know. This is how he wants us to be. And then the name of Jesus, it's such a powerful name, you know, name of Jesus. You know, when Luisa called his name, all the devil just flee away. So remember, when we are in difficult situation, when we are tempted, or when we are doubtful, and don't ever listen to the lies of the devil, because he makes us believe, you know, whatever they are, like putting seed in our hearts. But and then he make us sad, like depressed, make us doubt things.
Oh, we lost your audio, sister, somehow. Yeah, just cut out.
It's a tactics of the devil. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes. Okay, perfect.
Yes, so don't stay in that state of like sadness or downfall, but just be obedient to God, that you will always, you know, be joyful to accept everything as the will of God, and that you will win, you know, with the grace of God. That's and call his name, and he will fight for us. And I wanted to share the volume 30. This is from November 16, 1931. So it's the more acts we do in the divine will, the more soil we are preparing, in which the will of God prepares its distinct seed. Okay. Do you see then the necessity of the acts of the creature in order for us to be able to find the soil in which to enclose our divine seed? As for us, we have no soil, therefore she must form it for us with her acts, so that with our seeds we may germinate the divine being in the creature. Therefore, one who does and lives in our divine will can be called the one who reproduces her creator, and hosts within herself the one who created her. Then I continue my acts in the divine volition, and my littleness wanted to embrace everything in my embrace of love, to be able to make my little love run in all things and everywhere. But while I was doing this, my sweet Jesus added, "My daughter, to love means to possess, and wanting to make the beloved person or object one's own. To love means bond, whether of friendship or of kinship or sonship, according to the greater or lesser intensity of the love. So if between the creature and God there is no void of divine love, if all his acts run toward God to love him, if they have their origin in love and in love they end, if it looks at all things that belong to the Supreme Being as his own, This says love of son toward his father, because in this way, one does not go out either of divine properties or of the house of the celestial father. In fact, true love constitutes a right in the creature, a right of sonship, right of participation in the goods, right to be loved. Each of his acts of love is a vibrating note that palpitates in the divine heart. So here Jesus said, you know, in the acts that we do in the divine will, it allows the divine life be born in our acts. And he says, the one who does and lives in the divine will can be called as the one who is giving life, birth to the creator. That's why Jesus called Luisa as little mama. It doesn't mean that she is like greater than our celestial mother, but because of the divine will that is putting seed in all acts, because divine will is doing all the divine acts in our small acts. That's why we can become little mother. There's no greater saint than our Virgin Mary, but the divine will makes us makes us little mothers. And when we love somebody, you want to possess the person, not in a bad way, but because you want to be his all, and it gives the right. So when we love God, you know, we are saying, God, I love you. Please love me too. And when he's longing to hear that from us, so that he can also tell us that he loves us and that he wants to give us the right, you know, of the kingship, of the sonship, and that he wants to give everything to us that he created for us.
Yeah, so, and it's also so important to just like keep on persevering in the divine will, because in the beginning, especially when you start reading the volumes, the devil can like discourage you and like make you feel like, oh, this is too good to be true. But really, this is reality. And in heaven, every moment of our lives, we'll be learning more and more truths about the divine will for all eternity, which is so wonderful. And the passage I like to read here from volume 32, it actually connects with the passage Sister Gloria shared about like the germinating. So in volume 32, April 29th, 1933, Jesus explains how one who does the human volition takes earth, and one who does the divine takes heaven. So when I read this, it was actually something new I learned after I started reading the volumes, about the beauty of living a long life on earth in the divine will. Because the longer we live, the more acts and rounds we do, and the more acquisitions Jesus can make in our souls. Because really, we're doing these acts and rounds not only to like, oh, get a higher place in heaven, but really we're doing these acts and rounds for God's honor and glory, and to give him all the honor and glory he should have received from all creatures, past, present, and future. So Jesus tells us through Luisa, on the other hand, every act that one does in my will, the creature loses the human terrain and acquires the terrain of heaven. Therefore, every act that she goes doing of divine volition, she takes heaven and goes enlarging her celestial properties. And I myself administer to her the seed, and acting as celestial farmer, I sow together with her the most beautiful virtues, and I form there my sojourn, my refuge, my delights, and I find no difference either remaining in heaven together with the saints in the celestial regions, or remaining in the heaven of this creature. Rather, I experience more pleasure in remaining in the heaven of the human will on earth, for the reason that in it I have something to labor in order to be able to increase this heaven even more. Therefore, I can make new acquisitions, new love. So when I read this, I thought that was just amazing, and that really encouraged me to do more and more acts in the divine will, so Jesus can make more acquisitions in our souls. And all the holy souls in purgatory benefit from our acts and rounds, and also all the saints in heaven are awaiting for us to offer up their divine the the divine version of their lives to the Father for the increase of their accidental glory. And I remember reading in That Which Awaits Us how tenderly love told the doctor that, like, the more, like, good things, like, the more good, like, acts you do in heaven, the more, like, accidental glory you get, and in turn, you'll get a closer place in God, and when you get a closer place in God, you get a higher place in heaven, and the amount of accidental glory you get, that also affects all the blessed in heaven. So really, we're not only, like acquiring more celestial terrain just for ourselves and our gratification in heaven, but really, this will affect all the blessed. And in a way, like generations past, present, and future. And I'd also like to read another part of the same passage. So Jesus tells us, this is why they, and when Jesus refers to they, he's referring to the souls living in the divine will on earth, please me even more, because the conquests, the labors, the enjoyments that I find in these terrestrial heavens of the human volition cannot be where all is triumph and glory, not even in the regions of my divine fatherland. Therefore, be attentive and never go out of my will, and I promise you to never stop my divine labors in your soul. So this really reminds me of the importance of not wasting time and just think to yourself, like, the more acts and rounds I do, the more acquisitions Jesus is making in my soul. Because once we get to heaven, we can't get new acquisitions for Jesus. Like, what is done, set in stone. But on earth, we have this beautiful advantage of just increasing these celestial terrains that we will have with Jesus for all eternity.
Amen. I have a correction too. I'm sorry, Mother, before you start. I when I read that about the first thing that with that divine nourishment is knowledge, I quoted the wrong volume. It's actually volume 30, March 27, 1932. And the entire passage, you must read that, maybe today. I mean, it talks about, this Mother reminds us of, it says, quote, you must know that each word that comes out of the uncreated wisdom contains life, substance, work, and instructions. So we have all the information we need. Then it goes on to say, Mother, about it explains how can God allow us to retain our human will? And how can we never, at some point in time, never invoke to exercise it? He explains that. He says, just basically everyone's office throughout all of eternity that is journeying in the divine will, assisting God, will form a net around that individual. Whereas even if they wanted to get out, they couldn't. And the more they struggled, it's like the Chinese finger game. The more you try to struggle with it, you can't get out. The more we try to struggle, the more the net encloses around us, keeping us in place. So again, never invalidating our free will, never removing it from us, but we'll never exercise it because we have everything we need. There's nothing to aspire for anymore. That's why I go around the house singing this song, No More Chasing Butterflies. And I'm not a very good singer, Mother. I think you know that.
Oh, yeah. I was just going reading further on about these acts and rounds and divine will. My daughter, what a stench emanates from the earth. This is volume 12, February 27th, 1919. I can find no place for myself, and because of the stench, I'm forced to run away from the earth. You can make for me some sweet-smelling air. Do you know how? By doing what you do in my will. As you do your acts, you will form for me a divine air, and I will come to breathe it, finding a place for me on earth. And since my will circulates everywhere, everywhere will I find the air which you will form for me, and it will blow away the bad air which the earth sends me. So as we do acts and round in mind, we're changing the air. We're making the air more pure for God to want to remain on the earth, to be with us. It goes on to say, let your acts be continuous in my will, so that you may not only form air from your Jesus, but also light. As you do your acts in my volition, you will raise tabernacles. As you keep forming your thoughts, desires, words, reparations, and acts of love, many hosts will be unleashed from you because they are consecrated by my will. So these hosts that we're talking about, these divine lives of Jesus, these little Jesuses, as you do acts and round the divine will, you're forming lives of Jesuses. These are like little hosts. We think of the hosts of the Eucharist. He says we will be living hosts. When we live totally in his divine will, we're like living hosts because we realize in his presence within, giving him honor and glory there, adoring him, praying to him within yourself, loving him there within yourself. You become a living host. He says, oh, what a free outpouring my love will have. I will have free field in everything. No more obstruction. I will have as many tabernacles as I want. The hosts will be innumerable. We will communicate each other in every instant. And I too will cry out, freedom, freedom. Come all into my will. And you will enjoy true freedom outside of my will. How many obstructions does the soul not find? But in my will, she is free. I leave her free to love me as she wants. Even more, I tell her, lay down your human remains. Take what is divine. I am not mean and jealous with my goods. I want you to take everything. Love me immensely. Take all of my love. Make my power your own. Make my beauty your own. The more you take, the happier your Jesus will be. The earth forms new tabernacles for me. The hosts are almost numbered. It goes on to say, give me love, divine reparations, and complete correspondence. She substitutes together with me all the evils of the human family. He says, to be attentive and do not move from the point at which I call you and want you. So he's calling us to this. He wants to give this gift to each one of us. It's a gift. It's all in our desires. You want the gift? God will give it to you. Desire that he does everything in and through you. You know, a while ago I said, inch by inch, holiness is a cinch. Hard, yard by yard, holiness is hard. Live in the present moment. Don't lament over the past. God forgives all your past. You know, we have the Sunday after Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, where all your purgatory is washed away for your whole life if you take part in Divine Mercy Sunday. It's a great gift. Pope John Paul II gave this ability for us in the church from the writings of St. Faustina. Our Lord wanted that Divine Mercy Sunday, and he opened the door for that, that we can get a clean slate on Divine Mercy Sunday. Everything is washed away. We get our baptismal innocence all back again. You know, so what a great grace. God is bending over backwards in this day and age to give us so many graces, so many gifts. Medjugorje, Our Lady coming every day for how many years? Since 1981. The Divine Mercy, it's a great gift. And Divine Mercy Sunday, great gift. We pray in the Divine Mercy Prayer every day at 3 o'clock. What a great grace to help save souls, to keep people from keeping them out of hell. We have this great grace of these divine will writings that our Lord has given us. They didn't have that in the past. We're so privileged. We're living in the greatest times. This is the greatest time to be alive. There's no time to be depressed or oppressed. It's a time of joy, great joy and delight, because this is a great gift that as God has given us now. Delight even in your crosses. Live in the present moment. Don't worry about the future. Like Mother Angelica say, the past is dead, the future is unborn. You only have the present moment. Live in the present moment right now, accepting everything that happens to you right now. If your husband's upset with you, your wife is upset with you, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I know you're trying to bring me to a greater level of holiness by me being patient and kind and loving in this situation and forgiving and loving in spite of everything. That's what's important. And you can only do that by living in his divine will. You can love it all the time. You know, well, how many people in the past showed that? I mean, I was just thinking, just came to mind, St. Maximilian Kolbe, who gave his life for another person in the concentration camp. He got that grace to have great joy and peace in saying, yes, I give my life for this man who he didn't even know this man. He died as a martyr, you know. And he died singing and had great peace. So we can only do that through God's grace. God gives us grace as we try to live more totally in his divine will. God, our Lord says in volume 12, April 3rd, 1920, my whole will in creating man was that he would do my will in everything. And as he would continue to do my will little by little, I would complete my life in him in such a way that after repeated acts done in my will, forming my life in him, I would come to him and finding him similar to me as a son of my life would find son of my will, life formed in this soul. It would absorb him within me. And as the two would be transformed together, like two suns into one, I would bring him into the delights of heaven. So as we live more and more his divine will, you know, he totally, Louisa, he's going to fuse himself totally in us. It's like we're totally in him. He's totally in us. We will go directly to heaven. We will have bypass purgatory. There'll be no purgatory for you as you live totally in his divine will. He says, now as a creature does not do my will, or if she does it every now and then, my life is halved by the human will life, and the divine life cannot be completed. It is obscured by the human acts and does not receive abundant food sufficient to the development of a life. Therefore, the soul is in continuous opposition to the purpose of creation. And alas, how many are those who, by living the life of passions and of sin, form the diabolical life within themselves? So we can either form the life of God within ourselves, or the diabolical life within ourselves if we live in a life of sin. So when you do that prevenient act in the morning, you're asking Jesus to do everything in and through you throughout the day. But it can stop upon a sinful act that you do, a sinful word, a negative word, a condemning word, an uncharitable word about somebody, or rash judging others. So, and you got to remember, if you want to get back into your divine will, you got to recall that act and say, I'm sorry, Jesus, please forgive me. I'm sorry for this act. If it's a venial sin, you get right back in his divine will. If it's a mortal sin, you got to go to confession before you get back in his divine will. So even if you just do that prevenient act in the morning, he's doing everything in and through you, but it may be broken if you do a sinful act, unless you ask forgiveness and get right back in. So that's very important to remember. You want to live totally in his divine will. Do that little examination of conscience. You know, we have before night prayer, Compline, a little examination of conscience. They suggest sometimes that you do it twice a day. Do it in the middle of the day, do it at night. And you can, if you've gotten out of the divine will in the morning because something you did or said, ask him to forgive you and say, I want to get right back and living in your divine will. Give me the gift again. And you get right back again. At night, you do the same thing. Then ask him to sleep in your sleeping throughout the night. You're going to be doing a divine act all night long. And you're going to be you're being constantly transformed as you letting him relive his life in you, as you're letting him do acts in you. You're being transformed gradually, little by little. It's so important to remember to do that. It goes on here in volume 13, May 21st, 1921. Only the souls who live in my will are able to give me rest. The living in my will forms the room for me. The acts done in my will form the bed, my bed. The repeated acts and the constancy in repeating them are the lullabies, the melodies, the opium to favor my sleep. Your will is nothing other than outpouring of mine. Your thoughts, the outpouring of my intelligence. Your word, the outpouring of mine. Your heart, the outpouring of my heart. Therefore, even if you do not hear me speak, there is such dissolving of yourself within me that you do not want nor think nor do anything but what I want and do. So as long as you live in my will, you can be sure that everything that happens within you is me. So whatever you do throughout the day, he's breathing in your breathing. He's beating in your heart. He's speaking in your speaking. He's thinking in your thinking. He's cooking in your cooking. Everything you do throughout the day is an act of God within you. You have to believe that and know that. And the more you read these books, the more you believe these truths, the more power in each one of your acts and rounds, because your faith is growing. Your faith has to be very strong. And what Jesus said to Louisa is a reality. It's really true. It really happens as he said it would happen, just by you desiring it to be, to him relive his life in you. It's going to be that he does that, and you're going to be totally happy. You're going to have perfect joy as you allow him to relive his life within you.
Well, my mother was sharing about Maximilian Kolbe. It just remind me of, you know, Gloria Polo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the is she from Colombia? I don't remember exactly. She's a dentist, and when she didn't believe in God, she didn't believe in God, and she was like feminist, and she encouraged other women, you know, to divorce, to have abortion, and you know, when she was young, you know, she had an abortion, and then from then on, like she also didn't like she stopped going to church, practicing her faith, and yeah, and then she was having like promiscuous life, and she was like she was like after like vanity and all, and then she was struck by lightning on a rainy day with her nephew, I guess, and he died immediately at the scene. But then God brought her, you know, to the heaven, and then he showed her everything, all her life, and she realized how, you know, she failed all the Ten Commandments, and God, you know, gave her the last chance, and he showed her, you know, there was a prayer of a poor farmer. He just happened to read a little, you know, that article about her on the newspaper. And as soon as he read it, he just knelt down, and then he just prayed to God, you know, with his whole heart. He said, you know, like, God, dear God, I really pray for my little sister, even though he didn't know her in person, but he was, because he loves God, everybody was his brother and sister. And he was like, he was calling her as his little sister to save her. And then he promised God that he will make a pilgrimage where which was really far from where he lived. And God heard his prayer, and he granted his prayer, and he sent Gloria back to life. And it's just amazing how he restored all her organs, which was burned, you know, her uterus and her breast. And then it was just impossible to get pregnant, but she got pregnant. She gave birth, and her breast, you know, got restored. She was able to breastfeeding and all. It just reminds me of how much, you know, like when you die, when you go see God, you will see, you know, the things or the times that you missed, you know, where God gave us as an opportunity to love God, to love our neighbors, our families. But, you know, there are special, like specific love that only we can give to God. And it is so distinct from other people. And that's why God always, you know, everything he talks about is love, 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 love me. And then he's like a beggar. He's begging our love from each, every one of us, because the love we can give is so special and like unique from one another. So, yeah, when I think of, you know, like at the end of my life, you know, if I, you know, think back, how did I live my life? Did I give my whole heart, whole my life, you know, to the God? You know, did I love God with my whole heart? I don't want to regret on my deathbed. So every moment is really God's, you know, giving. He's giving this, you know, moment and this time opportunity to love him, to be better, you know, sons and daughters of God. And you know, with Luisa, Jesus, only by seeing each other, they were able to understand one another. That's how deeply they love one another, you know, like really, like when you love somebody, just one gaze is enough. You don't need a lot of things to say. You don't need to talk a lot of things, but just by one, you know, loving gaze, it tells everything. And that's how, you know, God wants us to love him, and how he wants us to feel his love. And this is from volume 7, June 13, 1906. And he's, Luisa here writes how much he loved Jesus. Then this morning, as I saw him, I felt myself being carried outside of myself. I cannot tell well whether it was paradise. There were many saints, all ignited with love. And the wonder was that all loved, but the love of one was distinct from the love of the other. However, finding myself with them, I try to distinguish myself and to surpass them all in love, wanting to be the first among all in loving him, since my heart too proud could not bear that others would equal me, because I seem to see that one who loves more is closer to Jesus and is loved more by him. Oh, the soul would give in to all excesses. She would not care about either life or death, nor would she think of whether it is convenient for her or not. In sum, she would even do excesses to obtain this intent, to be closer to him and to be loved a little bit more by her highest and only good. You know, when you love someone, you just do crazy things. You want to do crazy things. You go beyond, you go, you know, excesses, because you are crazy in love, madly in love. And that's how I want to be. You know, I want to be in love with God, like as Luisa was with Jesus. You know, we love something, we can love, you know, our family, friends, our fame or money, anything, but then our love should draw the love, the divine love, only from God, and we should attach ourselves only to God, not to the worldly things. And when we squeeze our soul, and then we get more soaked with God, and then you can feel more the life of God, and then you feel more like the love for the virtues, for the holy inclinations grow more and more in our soul. And then little by little, inch by inch, you know, we can conquer, you know, ourselves, and then we can slow little by little, God will transform our souls to be more like God. So let us just fall in love with God.
Right. Yes. And I also remember something else beautiful I learned from theology of the body. It's like we all have like these rocket engines, and like whenever, and so it's kind of like whenever we engage in our disordered passions, and it's like our rocket engines are inverted. But if we direct it all to God, then we redirect our rocket engines to the stars, straight to the heart of God the Father. So it's really important, like, with all our like hopes, dreams, and desires, to just direct it all to Jesus, like how Our Lady did, like just like shooting like for like the stars and beyond for heaven, and just doing everything for God's honor and glory, and not just for our honor and glory. So speaking of Saint Maximilian Kolbe, it also reminded me of the importance of sacrifice, like he offered himself to be in the starvation bunker in place of the man who had a family, who was crying because he didn't want to be killed. And it reminds me of just how each and every one of us, Jesus is asking us to make some sort of sacrifice, even if it's a little thing, in order to acquire this kingdom. And just the importance of like mortifications and just not giving in to ourselves all the time. Like you don't have to flagellate yourself. You don't have to sleep on the floor or do crazy penances. The greatest penance you can do is really just living in the present moment and submitting your will to the divine will. It's like what Mother Angelica would say, like with the sacrament of the present moment, like, what is God asking me to do now? To like completely fuse your will with his will, so the two wills become one. So your heart becomes identical to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And that's really the greatest sacrifices we can make, is completely submitting our will to the divine will. Yes, we still have our human will, but the difference is that our will is walking one with God's will. So I like to read just a little bit from June 26, 1932, about the sublimeness and power of sacrifice. And this is from volume 30. Daughter, when I want to give a great good, a new good to creatures, I give new crosses, and I want a new and unique sacrifice, a cross for which the human can give itself no reason, but there is my divine reason, and man is obliged not to investigate, but to lower his forehead and adore it. And in volume 8, I remember Jesus said, like, don't question God why, because questioning God, like, why are you letting this happen to me? Why did you let this happen to me? Why is this happening? Like that word, why, it's destined to be buried in hell for all eternity. So instead of questioning God, why, just abandon ourselves in his paternal arms and just realize, like, the beauty of sacrifice. Like, the sacrifice isn't an end in itself. The sacrifices we endure, it's a means to the end, which is heaven.
Mother, any final thoughts? We've got a few moments left.
Yeah, volume 13, July 14th, 1921. He says, Louisa, as a soul enters into the burning rays, she receives life. And as she keeps repeating her acts in my volition, she receives now my beauty, now my sweetness and fecundity, now my goodness and sanctity. So each time she enters the rays of my will, she receives many more divine qualities. Oh, how many different beauties, how much liveliness of colors, how many fragrances she requires. If these souls could be seen by the other creatures, they would form their paradise on earth. So great is their beauty. They are my reflectors, my true images. So in the eyes of God, you're going to become the most beautiful person on earth if you live totally in his divine will. You know, the visionaries of Medjugorje ask Our Lady, why are you so beautiful? She says, because I love much. If you want to be beautiful, you must love much. When I met Mother Teresa, I spent some time with her, and she was so beautiful. I thought, if this woman is in a room with the most beautiful women in the world, everybody would be focused on Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. She radiated the beauty of the love of God. She told me, she says, I'm 81 on the outside and 16 on the inside. And she was full of joy, you know. So you want to stay young and young at heart, live in the divine will. It goes further to say in volume 13, August 25th, 1921, daughter of my will, the more you immerse yourself in my volition, the more the circle of your will is enlarged within mine. It is yet true that the acts done in my will fill everything, just as the light of the sun fills the earth. However, by repeating the acts of my will, the circumference of the sun itself becomes larger and the soul acquires greater intensity of light and heat. As she repeats her acts in my will remains tied to mine as many times, and these knots make many divine rivulets flow over the whole earth, preventing the free course of justice. So as you live in his divine will, you're preventing the free course of his justice. You know, so God wants to purify the whole earth. Luis used to beg him not to chastise the people, but he said this is the only way he could save their souls, by disciplining. Discipline is a love. His justice is his mercy. Ah, my daughter, yet one can say that this is still nothing. And if it wasn't for these rivulets, for these knots of the human will made in the divine will, I would look at the earth as if it did not belong to me anymore. And therefore, I would make chasms open everywhere to swallow it. Oh, how the earth weighs upon me. So we are responsible, since we love this gift, we have this gift, we have the writings, to really live in his divine will, to help the whole world. You're helping every person in the whole world the more you try to live in his divine will, desiring him to relive his life in you. He loves you so much. He just wants to relive his life in you. But he's a gentleman. He won't come unless you invite him into everything. Live your life with him. You only have one life to live. Life is short. Even if you live 100 years, it's short compared to eternity. Eternity is forever and ever. And you only have one stab at what your eternity will be like right now in this life, to live it well, to live it for God, so you can have a glorious eternity with him. So that's what we all want. We're all in the same family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to be there together, all of us together in heaven for all eternity. We'll meet then. So, you know, everybody work hard so we can all be together, because we all belong to this one big family. And we want that family to include all of us, everyone, so we can have that glorious time in heaven together with God. Amen.
Amen. Amen is right. Wow. Mother, nothing to say after that, but I'd like to close with one last quote from today's beautiful feast day, St. Thomas Aquinas. He states, quote, grant me, O Lord, my God, a mind to know you, a heart to seek you, wisdom to find you, conduct pleasing to you, faithful perseverance in waiting for you, and a hope of finally embracing you, end quote. And I love the middle of that, the wisdom. Wisdom comes through grace. And your wisdom gives us that opportunity that when we come to that fork in the road, we know whether to turn left or right. You know, Jesus explains that, you know, knowledge comes into the intellect through grace. It resides in the memory. And then through additional grace, it is transformed into wisdom. I'd like to close with wisdom, wisdom 6, 12 and 13. In the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Resplendent and unfading is wisdom, and she is readily perceived by those who love her and found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known in anticipation of their desire. End quote. I think, Mother, back to the beginning, do we believe this to be true? Do we desire to have this gift? If the answer is yes to both of those, Jesus says, I guarantee it. Just do what I say. Say as I do. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Mother. Allow everyone to say goodbye to Mother. And I'm going to do that right now, if I can.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Well,
hello,
you.
Anne.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Sisters. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye-bye. Love you, too. God bless. Love y'all.
Green's iPad has left.
Thanks, Peter.
Has left the meeting alert.